You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
12-year-old Lee Spencer is in the back seat of his family's car as it's pulling up the driveway of the house they are moving into. Lee notices a young girl looking at him from the upstairs window. No one else in the car sees her. This is the beginning of a 4-year journey of Lee Spencer's unbelievable events that happened in and outside of that house. Spencer's Ghosts, available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, any place you get your books. Available in paperback and ebook.
Hi, this is Russ Bailey from Beyond the Strange, and you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast with Al Cooley.
Today I have Seekers, Chronicles, Paranormal Historians on the show. Anthony Simonelli, Jenny Colucci, Kim Geyer. They have a fantastic show on YouTube every Tuesday evening from 8 till 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to talk about their show, their paranormal team, and everything else that we can come up with, right? So welcome to the show, Anthony, Jenny, and Kim.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Al. Thank you.
Thanks, Al. Good to be back.
Yeah. Wow, and we know Jenny's just battling the double ear infection, and I'm surprised you got the ear pods in, but yeah, you know, you're a trooper.
First time. Yeah. First time in a while. We'll see how that goes.
Normally, I start with the ladies. I'm going to start with Anthony tonight.
All right.
It seems like you're the boss. Like, you know, you're the dude that started this whole thing, right?
Well, I had the idea to get, you know, for the podcast, but with two ladies in my show, I'm never the boss.
Well, yeah, I heard that. Maybe I said that wrong, you know, because, but, you know, how did the Seekers Chronicles come about? I mean, how did you put this thing together?
Seekers Chronicles, a couple of years ago, I tried to do with Seekers Chronicles. We tried to do it was me, Kim, and Lynn, and we were trying to do documentaries and stuff like that, but it didn't work out. But the name Seekers Chronicle stayed with me all this time, and I always wanted to put it to something else, some good use, and Seekers Chronicles came on the podcast now, Seekers Chronicles Paranormal Historians. So that was pretty much how that started. I was on previous podcasts and everything like that. And I enjoy talking to people like you probably do too. And I work with these two fantastic ladies, and I asked them to join along, and I'm lucky they did. Yeah, they said yes. You know,
that is a cool name, though. Seekers, Chronicles, Paranormal Historians. I mean, it's a, yes. A little bit of a tongue twister, but you know, it's yeah. Pretty cool. You know,
yeah,
I like that name.
Yeah, all the topics covered.
Yeah, right. So when did this goes all 3 years? I mean, when did you get interested into the paranormal?
Who wants to start that?
Jenny, go for it.
I think I'm the unusual one. So let's start on the unusual side. I actually am the opposite of most people that you speak to in this field, and that I actually got interested in the paranormal really to help people be less afraid of the paranormal, almost to debunk or disprove the paranormal. I was very skeptical, which I've evolved a bit from a skeptic into more of a critical thinker. That's what I call myself now. But at the time, when I was younger, I was really very skeptical, and I tried to help people using physics and, you know, other sciences to sort of debunk a lot of the paranormal and help them live with less fear. That's how I got into it. I never had any experiences ever. Very rare. Very rare. You never hear that. I know. Yeah.
That is rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch like the paranormal shows? Were you like into the shows?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. 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 So like,
sure.
The spark was there. The interest. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I was very interested. Yeah. And I always loved, you know, old buildings, and I always felt so privileged to be in them. And I still do.
Yeah. So that's the best part about it. You know, Kim, you want to do the next?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a medium. So I am not like some people where they were born a medium. I never really had experiences growing up. I never really had any spirits or, you know, imaginary play friends or playmates. Everything was pretty normal. I was obsessed with the paranormal shows on TV, Ghost Adventurers, Travel Channel, season 1. And you know, I always wondered, I was like, I always kind of like wished it was real. Like I almost wanted it to be real. And I was, but nothing ever happened to me. And it wasn't until 2008 when I was staying in an old house in Manchester, New Hampshire. This was my ex's house, that I started having paranormal experiences that I couldn't explain at the time, still can't today. Footsteps walking into the bedroom, night terrors at night, feeling like I was being dragged off the bed. Night sweats, like the whole gambit of like what people experience sometimes in haunted locations, to the degree that I wouldn't stay there anymore. I was like, something is real. Something is happening. Really nothing happened until I moved to New Jersey in 2014. I moved to New Jersey and I started having experiences outside in the woods at these like random historical places, because New Jersey is littered with these historical ruins all over the place and restored places all over the place. And then I was like, well, all right, I'm a science person, right? I really want to prove to myself that this is real, because this is weird and crazy. Like, I don't know what's happening. So then I went to the history books and I started finding some of the events that I was experiencing in my mind's eye, started finding the people who were coming to me in my mind's eye. And after that, it just kind of escalated. I did a lot of intensive mediumship training starting in 2019. And then I've been doing paranormal investigating since then as well.
Yeah, I'm always interested on psychic mediums. Like, when did you, you know, because, you know, it's something you get it early on, you know, like as a child.
Yeah, some people do.
And mm-hmm. sometimes you get it like later on in life, you know. And I've had so many on the show. It's like, you know, you just can't, you know, say it, because everybody's different, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not what I was expecting, moving to New Jersey, to have all of a sudden to be having these experiences myself here. So, yeah.
Okay, Anthony.
Yeah, we got an hour or two. I've been experiencing since 3 years old. And the time I started experiencing things, you know, you weren't allowed to talk about it and stuff like that. And my mom goes, oh, yeah, we believe you, but don't say nothing and all that stuff. So I started experiencing really at a young age. And through all that time, I started hearing my name called and all that. By 10 years old, I started seeing things in the hallway. I actually seen a grandmother that passed away. She, 1958, she passed away. Mm. I'm born in 1962, giving away my age. So I never met her. I never knew much about her. My father didn't talk too much about her and stuff. Where my bedroom was like in the corner of a hallway. And I, you know, you look out and you see down the hallway. Well, on the corner of the hallway, my mother had these plants. Back then, they had these spider plants, they called them. And I seen a woman's face in there. And I'm looking, I was like 10 years old. I'm looking out and I'm like, what? You know, 10 years old, you're starting to see, you know, I had experiences, but that's the first time I seen it, like what it looked like. Next day, I hid at night, that night underneath the covers, and I spoke to my mom the next day, and my father was upset. He was crying, and I'm like, what happened? What's going on? And I told my mom what I seen, and she told my father, I go, Sam, show him the picture in your wallet. And he had this old picture, because my father was in Korean War, so he had a picture he carried with him of his mother, because he wasn't married back then and stuff. And actually, it was the picture. I looked at the picture. It was the woman in the picture. And that's the only picture he had of his mother, because he didn't have a great childhood. So I started experiencing more and more as I got older. So I was about 13 years old, and I grew up in a place called Glendale, New York. It's like Glendale, New York, Ridgewood, Massapequa, and a Mill Village. Well, Glendale is surrounded by 9 cemeteries. And we have some famous people there between Harry Houdini, Mae West. One cemetery has Lucky Luciano, you know, the mob, all the mobsters are buried there from the 20s and 30s. Of course, it's a Catholic cemetery. And then you got the Jewish cemeteries, like Harry Houdini's buried. So we had a lot of famous people buried it. And in the 70s, we didn't hang out too much in the streets, especially at the parks, because the 70s had a bad, I know in my area, we had a bad heroin, and people were shooting heroin in the park and leaving their needles around. So we used to go in the cemetery. So I started experiencing more stuff in the cemetery, and I see my first full body apparition like at 13 years old. She was like right there praying over a grave. I was with a group of my friends, and I'm like, do you see this? Do you see this? And everybody like, no. And it freaked me out, you know. But right after that, I got curious and I started going to the cemeteries at nighttime by myself, 13 years old. I told this story like a billion times. You remember the old wire hangers? You know, you'd close the wire hangers?
Oh, yeah.
I took them, I cut them up, made them into dowsing rods. And I took my Boy Scout compass with me, and I had this 35mm camera that weighed as much as I did back then, mm-hmm. with the big light that poof, when you took a picture, you left shadows of people in the back. But yeah, so I used to go in the cemetery at nighttime, and so I've been investigating since I'm pretty much 13 years old.
You guys are kind of like me, you know. So mm-hmm. on your show, mm-hmm. you really can't discard anybody's story mm-hmm. because of what we've all been through. You know, yes.
I can try, Al. I can try.
You can try. All right. Right. And okay. I've had a couple that I did question, you know, I'm relying on you to tell me the truth. Like, mm-hmm. like you would be like relying on me on your show, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's hard for me to say UFOs don't exist because I've never seen one, you know, or right. Bigfoot, you know, mm-hmm. But I have seen a ghost. I have seen the apparition like Anthony, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Well, I think the three of us, I mean, especially for the show, like to have the three different backgrounds mm-hmm. where Anthony has had experiences since a child. I just started, you know, my mid-20s, really. And then Jenny, we still believe Jenny is more sensitive than she lets on. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll get there to when she's, we're working on it. We're working on it.
You brought up the history. You know, you brought up the history of how important that is. I know I watched Jenny's shows before, the Ghost of Summersville.
Yeah.
And I know how history was a big part of that.
Huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huge part of it.
So I'm assuming what I've been hearing from your shows, I think a few of them, how history does play a big part in your investigations.
Yes.
So it's important, you know, and I mean, in your title, paranormal historians.
Yeah. I mean, I always say behind every phenomena is somebody who lived, you know, behind every apparition, behind every experience, every rock thrown, you know, is a is a persona. It's somebody who lives, somebody's experience. And the history can show up in so many different ways at these locations, whether it's residual, whether it's an actual apparition, can be involved in all of it. And, you know, history doesn't catch everything. So, you know, we never discredit what somebody's experiencing, because just because it's not recorded doesn't mean it didn't happen. But when those two line up, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I always said it before, you know, you could have all the equipment, the best equipment out there, you know, but sometimes it's what happens outside that equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're feeling the presence of a spirit, or feeling it touching you, or the cold breeze, or so many different things, you know, and,
right.
And being a psychic, you know. So I'm going to ask that question to you, Kim. When you go into investigation, do you like to know beforehand what's going on, or do you like a fresh slate when you go in?
Yeah, I like to know nothing. As little okay. as possible, because I want to try and be as unbiased as I can. And why I think that's so important is, you know, a lot of times we're going into places, not only historical places, we love going to historical places, but we get called from to people's homes where they're having experiences.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And they don't know what's going on. So if I can go in with I don't know any of their experience, and I can validate, I'm seeing somebody here in the bathroom, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's where I had my experience, in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So it's just validating their experience with a little bit more oomph, kind of like a little bit more. I will say, because I don't do the historical research beforehand, I do like to do like a follow-up kind of thing after, because I don't know the history. I don't know the names. So if things aren't making sense at the first go around, then going back with names, with history, with dates can help figure out, okay, who is here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were talking about tools and like the equipment we use. Your best tool to bring with you is your own intuition, you know? Go with your feelings. If you feel there's something there, and I mean, you could spend thousands and thousands of dollars, I mean, on all the, and I call them bells and whistles, half of them, you know, they ring, they the lights light up, and oh wow, that's cute. You could go with your own intuition into a location and feel something. You might not record it. Then again, you might, if you have a record, I mean, you could use the cheapest piece of equipment, your recorder, or no, it was not your recorder, Jenny. a cheap recorder, or maybe a camera. Even your cell phone has, you get your cell phone, and on your cell phone, I use a thing called wave pads, and they got a free version of it, and I use that. You know, you just have to use your own abilities. You know, you might not be psychic, but if something's coming to you, your hands on your arms are standing, and you got that little nervousness, probably something is there. That's, you know, your body is picking it up.
Yeah, when I did my documentary years ago, I had video cameras and the old-fashioned, say, a ghost box, you know, spirit box.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, yeah.
I had everything lined up for this one story in my documentary, and nothing happened. And it was a very active bridge, and nothing was happening. She comes up underneath the bridge and gets in your car, but nothing was happening. Mm-hmm. And my actors there, my sound people there, my light people there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those moments, you know. But yeah. It was after everybody left is when all the shit happened. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
When I was pushed from behind, you know. So, or, and now I'm there by myself. I'm down in a gully in this mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania. I'm down this little gully, and I don't have any evidence, you know, but I do know I was pushed. I knew I heard a growl, like a growl. There was nobody there, nothing there. It was just a weird feeling. I knew that I was in the presence of a spirit. You know, like you're saying, you can have all the best equipment in the world, but sometimes your own intuition, your own spiritual surroundings, you know, it's hard to explain. It's just and I know you guys know what I'm talking about, but.
Yeah. For sure. And you have to use your lot. Like, you really have to think about it logically and keep an open mind. I mean, you have the bells and whistles, right? So you have a, you know, some type of device going off when you say, "Grandma, is that you?" But if it goes off, and then, you know, unfortunately, you see people go, "Oh, so it is you, Grandma." Like, no, just because it beeped doesn't mean that that's actually the answer.
Right.
You just, you can't go down these, you know, narrow holes. You know, you have to keep an open. Yeah. And I've been on private cases where people are convinced it's, you know, it's, it was in Maryland, actually, on the Pennsylvania Maryland border. One of them is a great example. And they had an Amish, farm and cemetery. You know, they were all buried in their outside the home as usual. And they were absolutely convinced that one of the men was haunting the home, absolutely convinced. And, and everything that happened, they sort of only thought that way, you know, sort of thing. And in the end, we were able to go down there and, you know, produce some recordings, you know, that we played back. And the man said, "That's my mom." You know, it turned out to be grandma, you know, kind of thing. He's like, "Oh, that's my mother talking." Mm-hmm. You know, it was like full sentences. And that was it, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, it was this big, huge haunting that turned out to be, okay, that's my mom.
Which could be even scarier, depending.
Yeah, there you go.
I think you guys work great together. You know, watching your shows, and usually starts out with Anthony and Jenny. You guys go with your investigation or your questions for the guest, and then I love when Kim comes in at the end with the. And I love the way because you did that with me. You know, I think with a video or a picture I sent in, and you got your vision from that.
Yeah,
You tied that in with the other investigation. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool where you guys work together, and that's why your show works so well to me. Anyway,
thank you.
Yeah, it's our format. We definitely do like the historical research, but we also have Kim not know what the location is in advance. We don't tell her. You know, we just have a guest. We don't tell her what the location is. We give her pictures of it. She does readings in advance and records them. And then sends them in before we let her know what the location is. So, and we reveal it on the show, which is pretty cool.
It is cool, you know.
When I send her pictures, it's weird. I look at each one of those pictures and make sure nothing in that picture could give away anything.
Right.
So nobody could say, "Oh, well, she's seen that. She's seen the pictures I give her. It's just like property or maybe a room, but doesn't give a location, any names away. Doesn't give nothing." So she's going in there. She's reading that what? She's reading, it's a cold reading, really, pretty much. You're reading the whole thing. You're remote reading these things.
Mm-hmm.
And she does a fantastic job. She really does. I love watching whenever you put the people behind in the green room and we can watch them. But you're seeing what's going on the screen, but I can see what's in the green room. And when Kim's starting to talk, the people in the green room are like looking back at it. They're like amazed. Their face expressions are like, like, how'd she know that? And then when they bring it up, they're like, "You're right on the money." And she, many a time, I mean, I think what, almost every time.
Wow. Well, you forgot in between all of that, my panic mode after I finish my video. So after I do the video, because it's a weird, you jump into the unknown and like, I don't know these places, but these things are coming out of my mouth when I'm looking at these pictures. And so after I've completed the video, then I do a panic mode. I'm like texting them. I'm like, "Please tell me what it is."
What place?
Just to be like, okay.
Just to know where it is. She doesn't even know where it is. Yeah, exactly.
But I think she comes.
Do you ever put up like a barrier, like to this is to Kim. When you're doing like, come to you through a psychic medium. Do you ever feel like you have to put a wall up between, you ever been that way where you're afraid of going any further on that, like an evil presence? You know, do you ever put like a, I thought I'd ask another psychic medium that, and she said, couple times she had to put a like a barrier up between her and having because it was getting very violent.
Yeah. So it is. So I'll say a few things on this. So it is a little different reading from an image than being in the space. Mm-hmm. Being in the space is definitely more, you're immersed in it, right? When I'm reading a picture, it's like my mind is going there and I'm reading the space and maybe they're coming to me to talk about the location too. But when I'm in a space or in a location, and if there is an entity there that has nefarious intentions, it's important to keep and hold your space. Now, people will ask us all the time. I mean, they'll ask Anthony and Jenny too, like, do you do anything to protect yourselves? Like, do you carry any stuff? And I mean, I'll bring like a crystal with me, just I think out of habit. I don't think it really does much for me. It's just like a habit. But what I say is you have to fill your space. Filling your space inside your energy is the only thing that's going to keep things out. If you are like a little, you know, meek or like you haven't really stepped into your inner field, then you could potentially be a little more at risk. No, I don't generally feel, although I have had those experiences, which I think we all have those experiences as somebody trying to do something to us. I have had that experience and you have to be very firm. No, not allowed. No ifs, ands, or buts. But I will say reading the photos, this actually happened last week, right? Yeah, this was...
Japan?
Yes. So every time I read a location, I ask for permission. So every time I try and tap in, there's like a go or a no. Like this is off or this is okay. And so we got some photos from Japan. And again, Anthony sent them to me and I was more drawn to the land ones, which is more typical for me. But so there was one with Japanese writing on a tree and some ribbons. And I read that one and I'm reading into it. And I did not have permission to read that.
What do you mean permission?
So no information about it was coming to me, meaning that I was not really allowed to explore it for information, basically, in a nutshell. And I wasn't getting anything, which made me think, this is my mind thinking, that there was either a sacred place or bodies or graveyard. And on the show, it was actually Suicide Forest in Japan. So out of all the places for me not to have permission to read, I mean, that makes pretty good sense. You don't have permission to read this place.
So have any of you come across a spirit that didn't know they were dead?
Oh, yeah. Yes. In hospitals, I have a couple of those. You know, even in Gettysburg Battlefield, it's people that usually don't know that they passed because... it's like a sudden death. Bang, it happened so fast. You know, like a car accident or battlefield, prime example, and a battlefield. So if something happens so fast, and especially children don't realize it because I guess they don't know what that death is. And when they get sick, they don't think they're going to die. And then when they do pass... Then I feel that they get lost, their soul gets lost, and they don't know where to go. You know, they might be looking for mommy, daddy, and that's all they're looking for is their family. So it is a sad. I was part of a couple times with a groups that actually crossed over spirits. And one girl that we passed, you know, to the next realm, wherever they may be going. We were just saying, you know, mommy and daddy waiting for you, dad, mommy and daddy. And we got EVP, mommy, daddy, you know? And then the man did his little ceremony and it was clear. And after that, the spirit of the girl wasn't seen. And we went there. We never got her back on any EVPs and stuff. So, and it is sad when they don't know, you know, because they don't know where they're going. They don't know what's going on.
I had an episode released yesterday, and I had mentioned that on that show about a medium I had talked to. She basically had to move a child on that didn't know she was dead, and it was so moving. Well, I was contacted from that episode this morning, as a matter of fact, from another psychic, basically had the same story. It's like so freaking unbelievable that one was on the West Coast, one's on the East Coast, you know, so they don't know each other. It's two different stories.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stories are so similar, you know, and she was saying there was two mediums on their team, on psychic mediums on their team, and she was trying to pass the little girl on. The other one was trying to pass the mother on, right? And they were here for 200 years. They're searching for each other. They don't know they're dead, you know. So when the one passed the mother on, she was, well, they didn't go together. But when they finally got connected, oh my gosh, it was so moving. There wasn't a dry eye in the house, you know. And at the same time, all their equipment, you know, because everything's lit up with your EVPs mm-hmm. and your spirit box and your grids and everything, and everything just went, it just, they knew they passed on. Everything shut down. I love when people contact me and let me know that how a story affected them because it's so similar. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you guys, yeah. That's a lot of people out there. You don't, sometimes you don't know it.
It's like,
that can relate to your story.
Yeah. It's when you pass, when you cross over a spirit, and you're part of it because it's all, as you're working on it, you feel it's like a heaviness and it's like intense. And once the spirit passes to, you know, crosses over, it's quiet. It's like, mm-hmm. wow, it's like it comes over you and everybody starts crying. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do cry. Okay.
Okay.
So a tear came down my eye. Just one.
It's like, you know, you're reliving that death all over again.
Yes.
And you know, like I think I know who, which one you said it, that these were actually living people one time.
Yes.
You know, so we're, a lot of people forget that.
Right. It's not just a phenomena. Yeah.
Right. You're thinking of it as a spirit or a ghost and you put them in a different type of category. These were actually people.
Yes.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Like, I'm not a sensitive, but I definitely am someone who tries to put myself in the place of the spirit that we're trying to contact. Mm-hmm. You know, always. I always try to. I even take time.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic-foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I am actually by myself and I'll stand in a space and imagine what it was like to stand at this window. Imagine what it was like to have to cook over this fire. That type of thing. I do try to have that empathy.
Yeah, you're very personable. When you, even when you're asked questions, you're very personable. And I think you get a lot of good responses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, you are with that, Jenny.
You're
very, you know, like you're caring and stuff, but you're a caring person. So you care for everything, especially when there's children involved. I mean, with parents and when you have a child involved and you want to get this child to see, go back to his parents or family, you know, and it's like, you're trying to help family, you know, pass going too. So it is very emotional and stuff like that. And like I said, I'm working with two great ladies here.
Well, you guys are all great, you know.
Yeah.
Do you believe a spirit can cling to you and you can take it to a different destination?
Yes.
Yes. I call them travelers.
Travelers, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a guest come on the show and they call them frequent flyers. You know, so sometimes it's the same ones that go to the same house. You know, they're gone for a while, then they come back.
I get in the car once in a while. I have one, I'm driving through a neighborhood. I'm just driving through the neighborhood because I'm sensitive. So I see stuff, you know, I see stuff driving through the neighborhood. And actually, I looked in my mirror and there was a man sitting in my back seat. And he was his seat, Jewish man with the curls and the hat and everything with the beard. And I was going through one of the neighborhood that was known for being Jewish. I'm like, what? And I look, and there's nobody back there. So I got home, and, you know, I did see him in my house, and I just tell him, you know, you have to go back to where you came from. Can't stay here. I said, you don't have to, you know, just go back. And he really just went back. But, yeah, I've been to a lot of locations, haunted locations, where – things did come home with me. And but I'm to a point, like, you can ask them, I'm to a point like, I sit inside and I still get things follow me. And they look at and they, I tell them, come on, sit down, watch TV with me. And what I do is when I do that, and I swear I do it, and they don't stay. I guess they want the, I don't know, maybe the scare factor and, you know, with stuff. But
come
I just,
on, yeah. Yeah. They just
come on, sit down.
Attention for a moment.
A couple of times I did feel the couch go down. I'm like, okay, you like this channel? You have to leave after it. So, but yeah, especially animals. I got animals following you home a lot of times too. Yeah, plenty of animals. Yeah,
sometimes we forget about the animals, you know, because the spirit of animals and, can linger on.
Mm-hmm. I have a great story about a spirit coming home. My husband had his gallbladder taken out at the hospital, and he came back and he slept on the couch and I was sleeping in the bedroom. He chose the couch. I didn't kick him out. He could have had the bed, but he chose the couch. And so I was in bed and all of a sudden I see this gray figure come into my bedroom. And again, like, I'm just more annoyed at this point. I'm not even afraid. I'm just like, ugh, he did bring something home from the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whatever, I'll deal with you in the morning. Like, I'm not going to deal with you right now. It's late. So that I didn't tell my husband, he was already asleep. And then the next morning he said to me, he goes, I had the craziest dream last night. And I said, what happened? He goes, there was a gray man in my dream. And I said, he was all gray. He said, yeah, he was all gray. He wasn't black. And I said, yeah, I saw him last night. He came with you from the hospital. So then we just did like a clearing process and sent him back. And we've never seen him since. But yeah, he absolutely came to him from the hospital.
Yeah, I had a priest tell me one time, you know, sometimes if you just ask him to leave, they'll leave. You know, there's, you know, you don't have to go into all the whole hoopla. And this comes from a priest, you know, you don't have to go into all the prayers. Just ask him to leave.
No, it's intention.
And they'll leave, you know. But if it came time for an exorcism, something like that, I would definitely put that off to an exorcist. I had Father or Bishop James Long on a couple of years ago, and he was talking about you can be a demonologist, you know, but that does not make you an exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
But your exorcists are demonologists, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And
it does.
I think you should really let the professionals handle that part of it,
because
it can be. That priest told me he was all into the paranormal. He was all into what I was doing.
Yeah, I think we've seen him one time at a convention.
With Bishop Long, I love his views on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer with the Roman Catholic Church. You know, he's with the old Catholic Church now. Mm-hmm. But almost all his exorcisms are through the Roman Catholic Church. You know, and they always rule out schizophrenia or mental health or before they even tackle that.
Yeah, they have to.
They have to. Yeah, right. Which leads me to my next question. Have you guys ever come across anything that you were like an evil spirit or demonic? Let's use that word.
I never came across any demonic. I came across a lot of negative. The word demonic sometimes I think is thrown around too much in this field because of TV.
I was going to say that.
Movies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And demonic is, everything's demonic. No, it's negative. If you have a butthole in life, you're going to be a butthole in death. You know, you're going to be nasty.
Right, right. You don't have an angry spirit or in your spirit, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're sitting in your home, on your couch, and somebody comes into your house and says, what's your name? Do you know where you are? What year is it?
How did you die?
Yeah. Get out of my house.
Worst.
You know? These people come into there, they still feel wherever they are, it's their location. It's this is my house, and you're coming to my house. Who are you? So I think that sometimes that might be issues why there's a lot, there's negative energy, there's negative spirits out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, demonic sometimes is thrown around way too much in our field, you know, and I don't believe, and I came across negative spirits, you know. That threw things at me. I've been scratched. I've been punched. I've been pushed. You know, I've been bitten. And I got pictures. So nobody can say no. I got pictures of these things. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if they're demonic or whatever. I know there's things that weren't, they're, you know, they're out in the outside the elementals, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. that. You have other things that do wander around, Pukwudgies and all these other things that are out there. I don't know if they were human. They say they're not. I said, a lot of the answers that we think we know now, it's all theory, and we're not going to know the answers until we are on the other side, you know, until we die, and then we're going to have all the answers.
Right, right. I mean, yeah. We talk about haunted houses and haunted things. Do you believe in like haunted dolls or haunted items out of that house?
I know my answer.
Like Robert the Doll. Let's say Robert the Doll, you know, Robert the Doll or Annabelle, you know, they're probably the two most famous haunted dolls.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, just real quick, I went to a pair of condos past October, and the woman next to me in the other tent, she had a haunted doll, and I actually held that baby doll. You know, it's like I was going to send a picture to Kim, you know, because I tell you what.
She hates dolls.
I tell you what, I held this doll. My wife kept saying, don't hold the doll.
Don't hold the doll.
Don't hold the doll. Well, you know, woman. I had to go hold the doll. I tell you what, this baby felt like a baby. It felt like a human baby. The weight, the feel. Yeah. And she said it had one blind eye. And I got a picture of it, you know, and I want to have her on my show, really. But that really it irked it just drove my wife nuts, you know, but she didn't want nothing to do with it. But I had to touch that baby. So I'm just bringing that up too. Do you believe in
I believe attachments are to items.
Items,
right. I do believe on that. And like I said, I always use the example, like a guy has a guitar all his life. You know, these rockers and all these people, and they're playing that guitar, and then they pass. That guitar is given away. His energy, his everything that he had in life was that guitar. So I feel that there's attachment from that person on that guitar, some sort of energy that could be part. So the next person get it, they'll play it, and they might have some kind of feeling that something's connected to that guitar or any kind of item, women with jewelry or, you know, just a grandfather clock or anything. Anything that's of importance to somebody that's in the main, especially grandfather clock, that's always like always the main thing in the house. People like always get drawn to grandfather clocks. I don't know why, but that's like a main thing. So I feel the energy that these people are, you know, this is the love or whatever of this item. I feel that it stays on to them. Maybe it's not after they pass, maybe they do go and they do cross over, but their energy is still part of that item. That's what I feel. And I came across a lot of items that are haunted, and I don't touch these things myself.
I'm actually doing an experiment regarding dolls. I'm actually doing an organized, written down experiment with a doll currently.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually the reverse kind of thinking. Blech. We have a lot of locations that have dolls, and people come in and tell the same story about that doll. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of concerns about that haunting arising from those stories.
Yeah.
Right. So sort of that's the, I don't want to give too much away because I would love to reveal the whole thing. Yeah. It's the whole egregore thing.
Story.
Yes. Story. And this happens. There's one at White Helm Mansion in New Jersey. You know, that we have a lot of suspicions about that this is happening. And, you know, the caretaker there has the same suspicions. Everyone who comes there tells the same story about the doll. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they start to get, you know, indications that this, you know, this doll is haunted in this way, you know, following this story that everybody tells. And that concerns me that we do this a lot in this field. Again, I look at this a different way than those two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so, yeah. You know, I always think, you know, are we giving rise to some of these hauntings, some of these objects that we consider Freddie, haunted?
I know what doll you're talking about. And I was there. And
yes.
We got to talk about it because it looked like the thing winked at me.
Right.
Right in front of me. And I might have it on video.
Okay.
I don't know what doll you're talking about. And I've been there, but that's okay. I have no idea what doll you're talking about.
How, you know, are we talking about this so much that it's just giving, you know, we're creating the haunting. There is no haunting.
Are you writing something on that or?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, you bring up a, a really great point, Jenny, in the paranormal world right now about these stories and legends that are told on and on and on and on, and there's no basis in it. I can think of a place in Pennsylvania that was telling a story that the son of the homeowner, the doctor, drowned in the river behind the house. And I dug in, did the research, ordered the death certificate for the son, which you can do. It's public record. And he did not die in Newark. I'm sorry. He did not die in PA. He died in Newark. So his son did die young. So the age was right, but the story that it happened there is not correct. So, and they are telling people this is an attraction. People come here, pay money, and they tell them this story. So we told them that information, whether they, you know, corrected it or not, I guess it's up to them. And it is possible that a boy did drown in the river. It just isn't his son.
There's certain stories that make it sound more than it is. And people are like, oh, wow, somebody, this kid drowned here. He must be haunting. Oh, this doll is haunted. A lot of these things I noticed through the years, all the different places I've been, like places I know that all of a sudden have more ghosts there than anything there. There's dolls and all kinds of haunted items and everything there. And it's interesting to me that every item they have seems to be haunted now. I knew one guy that he opened up a haunted museum, tried to, and he was going to just to like antique stores and walking around, and he goes, oh, I'm drawn to this. It must be haunted. What? You know, it's like you're drawn to your wife too. Is she haunted?
Good point.
You made a good point about, you know, sometimes some of these myths or urban legends, you know, they're passed down. It's like going in a campfire, you know, on a circle. You whisper in somebody's ear. Time it gets around that whole circle, that story has changed.
Yes,
that's true.
Or something's left out, or something's put in. Mm-hmm. So you know, and you think about 100 years, 200 years, 300 years of these stories passed down, these legends. How true are they? I mean, I was just curious on that, you know, and because people have different. They may not believe in, a haunted doll, but they'll believe in the Virgin Mary that cries and sheds real tears. Or you don't believe in a spirit or a ghost, but you believe in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, so with it, you can't see or touch.
Right.
So, you know, there's different people with different views on things, which I think is cool, you know, because we're not all the same. But moving on, I hear Jenny, she joined your team for investigations? Or
yeah, she did. She's a seeking paranormal.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm part of a wonderful paranormal team, the Parasite Experience, that I adore very much. But we also encourage, you know, we encourage joining multiple teams. We encourage working with other teams.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about my group. So, Anthony and I have been investigating together a great deal in the last 2 years. And yeah, I like his style. We really complement each other. And then, you know, Kim, I work with as well, equally. Just a little bit more closely with Anthony as a team in these events that we do. So I've been lucky to work with Kim more now.
Yeah.
But I think that we complement each other, the three of us, a great deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jenny, I didn't even have to ask her. She was like, I'm part of your team. Okay.
I think I just decided.
I'm part of your team.
Still, okay. Are you still doing the Ghost of Somerville also?
I am. It's mostly on TikTok that I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, shorter things, because it's just me. My partner is now just focusing on his horror film. So
I read that. I've seen it somewhere. On, it might have been
that's a fun
Facebook
thing.
Or somewhere. You joined the team. I thought that was pretty cool, you know, got you guys together going out.
My team's been around since 1996.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're around before. We're pre-Ghost Hunters and pre all those. In 2004 is when everybody started thinking paranormal was cool then.
Right.
You know, before that, you weren't allowed to talk and everything.
Yeah. Remember, you were the OG.
Yeah. OG. Remember the first Paracon I went to was, I think it was the first New Jersey Para Unity. And I walked in there and I actually got to talk to people on a level like, wow, everything came off my. It was like so calming for me, because before that, I really had nobody to talk to. And I talked to people at work and their eyes are rolled, this and that and everything. So when I first went to my first Paracon, it was like energy. It's like it just everything came off my chest. I could actually talk to somebody, and they're like, really, they were interested instead of like push me away, like you're crazy, or you know,
right? The supernatural, the witchcraft. Yeah, exactly. You don't want that. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it opened up, but it opened up nowadays. It's I think it's a little different nowadays than when I was actually starting out back then, with a lot of the thought process and everything else. Back then, we were just trying to find out, am I crazy or not? You know, let me try to get some kind of evidence.
And things were different too in 96. You know, you didn't have TikTok or YouTube or Google.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to do things with the old-fashioned way, you know, which was my first investigation was in 96. You know, I did I just had a infrared camera,
mm-hmm.
and my buddy made up his own spirit box that he got a patent on. You know, so we just used that. It was two simple little things, and we had a blast, man. I mean, that was a first, you know, and it was different because times were different. But on the good side of today, we have our shows, like your show, my show, that we can go out there, and all these other thousands of shows out there that you can go to paranormal or cooking or anything you're interested in.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You stay just strictly in New Jersey, or do you travel outside of that?
Oh, yeah, we go everywhere. I know we've been to other states, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Maine, and we've been to different locations. And I know I've been to a lot of locations outside states, but June 24th, I think, we're having our first, we're getting together with a bunch of other paranormal people at Shanley Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to have like 10 of us, and we're just going to have a night that we just investigate. We rent out the whole hotel, and we're just going to do what we have to do.
This is our first Seekers Chronicles event.
Yes.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a very haunted hotel. Yeah. Yeah. It's our first official Seekers Chronicles.
It seems I hear that a lot. A lot of your haunted hotels are almost as bad or worse than some of their hospitals.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different energy. Like the energy of hotels are different than hospitals. Hospitals can be pretty yucky in general. Hotels are like a little unpredictable. It's like you don't know who's going to be there or why they're there. But we also have some Morris County Parks Commission events coming up. These are public, so anybody can come. There's actually, oh gosh, I think there's one coming up next month, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, March 15th. We're at in Morristown.
The Tubbs House, the Arboretum. And what we do is a public event where people can sign up to come investigate with us. And we split into teams. So it'll be Anthony and myself, and Kim's with another medium, and we have different stations, and people can learn about investigating and learn from us and ask us questions and actually participate in the investigation.
Yeah.
But it's very controlled. It's not a, you know, like a private thing where you can go off on your own. It's a sort of a controlled atmosphere, but we get children, which we love.
Yes.
We get children come investigate.
Not children spirits, children come, like live children, even better at paranormal investigating than many adults.
my paranormal team is having a junior investigator day at our theater. Yeah, we have a theater where we host investigations for teams, the Ritz Theater in Southern New Jersey, and we're having a junior paranormal investigator day coming up in June. We're also going to be at Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in May.
That's on my list to go to.
I'm trying to think of some other. Phelps Mansion in Binghamton, New York, coming up. We have a lot of really interesting ones this year that we'll be traveling to.
And where can people go to get a hold of you guys, you know, if they want to have you investigate their place or information on you?
I do mediumship one-on-one. I also do location readings. So I go to people's homes, whether in person, or you can send me photos to do readings of your home. And I have a blog as well. And videos on YouTube. It's under Ghost History Medium for the YouTube, Facebook, and you can reach me on the website at ghosthistorymedium.com.
Oh, Jenny? Go ahead, Jenny.
You can find us at, if you just Google the Parasite Experience in New Jersey. You'll find everything there for my paranormal team, or Seekers Club. You can find us on Facebook. And I do post things that I come across in investigations on TikTok under the, it's the Ghosts of Somerville. It's Somerville, New Jersey, not Massachusetts. Everyone asks me that.
Oh, that's where my grandfather was born, there in Somerville.
And you can find me on Facebook. Please do.
Yeah. The same with me on Facebook, under Anthony Simonelli, Seekers Club of the Paranormal, Seekers Chronicles, Paranormal Historians. I also have YouTube channels, same thing, Anthony Simonelli, Seekers Club of the Paranormal, Seekers Chronicles, Paranormal Historians. And they could Google me and see.
All right, I'll put all your links to the bottom of this episode, and they can get a hold of you guys and catch up on what's going on.
Thanks.
Yeah, we have adventures, Al. We do. We have some adventures. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anthony Simonelli, Jenny Colucci, and Kimberly Geyer from the Seekers Paranormal. You guys are fantastic. You know, it should end right here, but I accidentally forgot to turn the recording off while we were saying our goodbyes, and I always talk to my guest after the interview. So, but I didn't expect us to talk for another hour after the interview, and I contacted all three, and I said, hey, I got some good stuff here I can throw back in. What I'm going to do is next week, I'm going to play part two. It's us talking after the interview. It's very, very, very interesting. So it's always a pleasure to have people on my show that I can really connect to. This team is phenomenal because they work so well together. And the links will be at the bottom of this episode. And like I said, next week, come back and listen to part two, because it is just as good as part one. I guarantee it. So I'm your host, Al Cooley, and I'll see you next week with part two, with my conversation with the Seekers Paranormal team, Jenny Colucci, Anthony Simonelli, and Kimberly Geyer.